Hey there, Lions fans. Randy, Tom, and Rich here with you. Yes.
Once again, Tom.
All three of us, yes. Tom is back, yes. And
welcome, Tom.
Thank you.
Good to be here. Ready to talk football, Lions football. We are at the Ironton Ferry, but it is not in Ironton.
Where's the ferry?
Well, yeah, we was kind of wondering. They're a little bit behind schedule. If you're driving down M66... heading either to Charlevoix or East Jordan, you'll know when just before you get to Ironton, there's a sign that says Ironton Ferry, and underneath it is a flashing yellow light going closed. Just say closed. Flash. Still closed.
Yep.
They usually got it going right by now, and I'm not exactly sure why they don't.
It's a little bit of hull repair and some painting, and took a little longer than expected. These things sometimes do.
Well, it depends on the weather. I mean, we haven't had...
They've been keeping it in Ironton the last few winters, and
now it's
since
in Boyne
the
City.
Upgrades. And they used to keep it in Boyne City there, wintered, and but yeah, so they just did some maintenance, and well, there you go. It should be open soon, I guess. Now.
Yeah, we found it over here in Boyne City, right here down by the lake, right here in the park there, wherever the parking lot park at the park, but. Yeah. But, yeah, Tom's familiar with Boyne City more so than we are.
Yep, right down at the boat ramp.
Yep, cold as shit down here.
It is still cold.
Yep, the wind comes right up the lake here.
Quite a wind. it's not letting up.
No, but you know what? The schedule that was released for the Lions is pretty hot. And we got a lot of cool things that we want to talk about with this, and... I know Tom brought it up a couple of times, and I think we'll start with him. Tom, what do you think of the schedule and all the things that are going on with what the Lions have to do this year to win a bunch of games?
Well, hey, right off the bat, you know, they get to play the Super Bowl winners. And that was a little bit of a surprise.
To me, too.
Yeah. And, you know, but they want a competitive team. You know, they want an up-and-coming team. They want an exciting team.
It was leaked that the Bears were going to be the international team, so we didn't get that game.
So then, international.
So then, you know, they like, well, you guys get, you can't go overseas because you get the first one.
Yeah, well, that's okay with me. I don't really care for these overseas games. I think it throws the players a little bit out of whack with jet lag and all that stuff, but it's going to become part of the future of the NFL, and
it is.
Traveling around the world is going to be hopefully a thing that you know, keeps going because it draws good revenue. But getting back to the schedule.
Yep. Overall, I mean, they got short travel times. They've got their bye week, week nine, right in the middle of the schedule.
Perfect.
To me, again, you know, they have their toughest games earlier in the year. I mean, probably three toughest games could be week one and week two.
Yeah, the road games too.
Even the Falcons.
Yeah.
You know, if
yeah,
it's really.
We don't know what they are.
Right, but they ran the ball the most of any team last year.
That's
and they
right.
just got Bijan Robinson. They drafted the offensive lineman that I wanted.
It'll be a big challenge against that run defense early.
Third game of the season, if they aren't stopping the run, the Falcons may just run right out of
them. That's right.
Yeah, well, they've got an unproven quarterback with Ritter, I think his name is.
I like him, though.
They like him, too, Tom. And so
he went 2-2 at the end of the season.
So, you know, he's up and coming. He's you know, it's a good thing they do have a good, strong running game behind him.
I thought he was a great value pick at third round.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you get a healthy Ritter.
I had him as my number ACL. Two quarterback last year, but that didn't say much.
Right.
No, it didn't.
You know.
Yeah.
But... 1 and 2 to me weren't that far apart.
No.
You know. And so anyway.
Yeah, well, we know what half their running game's all about. So.
Yeah. So overall, I think, you know, and then they get They play Green Bay week four, and they don't play another conference or division game until like week 11, I think.
Yeah.
And so they have five of their last eight games are against divisional rivals.
Yeah, November 19th.
Yeah, week 11.
This is all when Detroit usually gets hot.
Right.
You know, in the second half of the season. So.
You hope to stay at least 500 through those first eight games, you know? Jeez.
Yeah, but then again, here you play Chicago and Green Bay, you know, after that week 11, you're ready to turn around and bam, you play Green Bay again. After you play Chicago week 11, the next week you're playing Green Bay.
Yep,
you know?
That's Thanksgiving.
Yep, then you get a week break.
A short week.
Then you get a week break and you play Chicago again. So there's like three games inside 4 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
Three conference games. So, yeah, and it ain't much better for the last week because you played Minnesota twice, one game apart, you know? So, that's going to be probably the deciding factor. I don't know if it comes down to Minnesota and Detroit at the end of the year to play back-to-back games almost like that. Yeah, that's going to be kind of crazy.
But what about the Seahawks in the second week? You know, we played them last year.
Yeah.
Big old home opener, right?
Yeah.
Monday. Home opener, is that Monday Night Football?
No, it's just a 1 o'clock.
Okay. Just a regular.
Yeah, Rich has got all the times and stuff. All I got here is
I got the networks and the time. But you know, that's.
You got some of them.
And it's. I don't know, it's not in Seattle this time. It's at home. So, like you said, home opener. How much better did they get? Did they get, the same better we got better?
Well, if playing Kansas City in week one, I think is the best time to play them. Because if you remember last year, we played Philadelphia in the first week last year, and they were the other team that went to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And we only lost to them by 3 points. And I think it was like coaching that gave up that 3 points. I don't remember exactly.
Right. We kind of came back at the end, and.
But still, that's, that team went to the Super Bowl.
But right.
Yeah.
I mean, we still put up, like you said, 31 points against Philadelphia defense,
Yep.
And that defense probably is not going to be, probably not going to be as good this year. Maybe you're right. Offense, maybe they took a step back on offense too.
You talk about Philadelphia,
yeah.
I haven't seen where
we don't play them this year.
I see where they have improved their offense. They improved their offense a lot, but their defense, I'm not so sure. So we'll see.
They got Swift though. So their offense is improved, but only for 7 games.
They got damn near the whole draft class from Alabama.
The other 10 games is a wash.
Their fan base just got a perennial Pro Bowler.
So a lot of tough teams here. What is it? NFC South looks like, and West, the AFC West. Right? Am I right?
Yep.
So, any comments about that?
Well, I mean, we knew who we were going to play, but it's really it was about the win and where
the wins and wears.
And that was my reactions were.
Yeah.
It sets up for a great season. They only have one cold weather game, the game in Chicago in December.
Right.
Everything else is in domes.
40 degrees and sunny.
Yeah. Could be.
Could be. And we get to beat Green Bay twice in prime time.
Yep.
They got to play, I guess Denver, but I was thinking, they play them at home too. That would be a cold game.
I mean, that's another thing. The prime time games, game against the first game of the year against KC.
Right.
Thursday night. Week four, Thursday night. Against Green Bay.
They're going to sit through a ring ceremony, but I think that'll give them a little more incentive to
play
opening harder.
Day.
Yeah.
That's where they want to be. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they'll be wanting to play for. And this team with that attitude, if they go in with the same attitude they went into Green Bay in the the last game of the year, last televised regular season game of the year.
Yeah, it was.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks
and
like.
And they kicked butt, you know. So, I mean.
It was awesome.
You know, this could be the year they break Kansas City streak, you know.
Well, I see a couple of revenge games in, like, the first part of the season,
sure.
too. Like,
sure.
with the Panthers right. coming to Detroit. Seattle, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the other one? Oh, Baltimore. But we're going back to Baltimore.
Yep.
We're going to Baltimore.
Right.
So we get a chance there. Because they kind of... That was at that 63-yard field goal.
That's in the media schedule. Thing,
yeah,
you know, that's really cool that Detroit media put out their schedule release.
Yeah.
It was based on Madden 23, and they had AI generated voices.
Yeah,
yes. Dan and Brad, and it's funny.
Oh, it's funny as hell.
And of course, we played Dallas too in Week 17. Now that's going to be a game that.
Yep, that's always a one. I mean, you know,
why is it always in Dallas?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good question, Rich. Yeah, you got an answer for that?
No. No. And how about the Raiders Monday night?
Yeah, Monday night.
That'll be a great game.
Halloween Eve, right?
Yeah,
it's Devil's Night.
And that's a home game, too, which is, even...
It's Raiders
Thursday. Yeah, first Monday night game in Ford Field in, 5 years?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so
been a while.
Well, then they get a bye week after that Raider game, and then they get to head off to
mid-season bye week
out
That's
to sunny
sweet.
California to play the Chargers right
yeah.
after the
yeah,
bye.
Yeah, I mean their longest, trip
right
out to the West Coast, out to the Chargers. It comes after bye week. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything nicer.
Yeah, there was
go play fair weather football.
You got 3 months, 4 months, to prepare for Kansas City.
Right.
I mean, that's the toughest game of the year.
Not even that far away.
Yeah.
You could drive there. I mean, what the heck?
That's right.
Yep.
I think tickets started at $239.
Wow.
I know. I see a couple of challenges, and that kind of starts with the Saints with me.
Plane ticket or game ticket?
Game ticket. Yeah. At Kansas City, opening night with Detroit, start at 2:39.
Wow.
That's what I saw.
Yeah, I think that's where it actually starts with the Chargers. That could be a problem, that game and the Saints. I'm not so sure, how much the Saints had done in the draft and free agency to improve their team.
They got Mr. Carr, Derek Carr, as their quarterback.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're going to be tough this year. I've always liked Derek Carr.
I think they're going to be better, but I don't know about tough.
Right.
They might come out of that division, on top spot, but they wouldn't be saying much.
Right. Yes, sir.
I mean, all those teams are kind of... Like dangerous,
like on the fringe.
I mean, the Panthers are obviously dangerous.
Yeah,
Tampa Bay is. I mean, they
think they're on a rebuild year.
Yeah, that's an obvious win.
Yeah,
but Atlanta and the Saints, are improved.
Mm-hmm.
So
Atlanta,
it could end
team.
Up being a tougher division than we think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what to think about Atlanta yet because they're kind of like under a rebuild too. They're Arthur
great.
Smith, I think
right.
is Arthur Smith.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so
he's the guy that
stepped on Tom's foot for the listeners. Yeah.
Oh, is that what that was about?
Yeah.
Trying to get my attention by stepping on your foot.
Talk about Arthur Smith.
new GM with the Atlanta Falcons here within, 2 years ago, Tommy, I think it was?
They're like right in line with the Lions.
Right,
our new regime and
rebuild.
They went with the third round quarterback last year.
That's right.
A healthy guy as opposed to the one with an ACL this year.
Yeah.
They've got the running back. We've got the other running back. They took one of our corners, two of our corners, I think. Hughes as well, maybe.
Yeah, so I got kind of a question mark with that.
Yeah, that's a step backwards with
but Acuna's going to be their third.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So at right least. Off the bat. So
yeah. Oh, so that's they right. got those guys for backups.
Yeah, yeah. And they're restructuring contracts and things. So they're saving money and it's all good for them. But they're on the same sort of rebuild track that the Lions are with the coach and not overdoing the quarterback position and not trading up and doing some outlandish thing to get to number one and take Anthony Richardson or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Tom, a while back you talked about how the NFL is really promoting Detroit this year to because we are an incoming team and where the draft is going to be in Detroit next year. And, who knows what's going to happen if they actually, win the division and go to the playoffs.
When you stop to think about it, the NFL really took a big gamble. And not a big gamble, but it was in some certain, situations or way of looking at it. They put Detroit in Hard Knocks, and then they gave them the draft the following year.
Yeah.
And now and Detroit reward them by finishing last season 8-2, came out of, looking like crap, organization into something real.
Yeah, pulled it together.
Right before our eyes.
Yeah.
During the season. And so this is a continuation. But, it's like this is a great schedule for
it's kind of like what the NFL was kind of hoping for some team to pull through and do.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it was the Lions because we are way overdue.
Well, in the NFC too. I mean, they're kind of weak. They're the little brother. Everybody's getting a little bit sick of the Eagles, the 49ers.
Yeah.
And then Dallas, that is a pretend team. They're right. Like the perennial Minnesota, Vikings. Right? They always seem to win a couple more games than they really should. But it's like all of a sudden now the NFC has.
There's a different winner every year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Vegas is on board with Detroit, being NFC North winners.
Yeah, and I don't know if y'all noticed that either, but, when I watch ESPN or Good Morning Football or something, there's always a segment on there about the Lions. And
they talk about a lot more.
They never used to do that. Not at all,
They have to now, so.
Yeah, well, I saw one national podcast where the guy talked about, Dan Campbell really is the star.
Yeah.
The coach, the head coach is the guy that's really pulling all this together, and that's probably the way it should be.
Well, he's bringing in these
coaches. If you want longevity, it's the coach.
It's the coaches.
Not any specific player. Belichick has, been in New England forever. You got guys like Tomlinson.
Who's in Baltimore?
Harbaugh.
Harbaugh, right? Yeah.
John, the good one.
John, the good one.
Sorry, Michigan fans.
Sorry, Rich. I could have said Harbaugh myself. That guy? Yeah,
I like John.
There you go. There's a lot of legacies going on.
And so I think, NFL looks at Dan Campbell is being that kind of guy for the Lions over the next decade.
And it sets a precedent with the relationship that Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes has to bring these players in that works for this offense and this defense. And because there are specific players they're looking for, and that's what Brad Holmes, that's what his drafts are all about, is finding the right player for the right spot.
And Chris Sims is, shout out to him on their podcast with
Florio.
Florio.
Oh, right on.
Chris has been, on the bandwagon. But he talks a lot about that. You know, oh, there's 500 guys out there, but there's only 15 guys that are Lions guys. You know, like, you know, Dan Campbell and Chris Spielman sitting back there in the room. There are those Lions guys. You know?
Yep.
And yeah, there's something about that that they want. And if you listen to the, not to get off target here, but or, you know, a little sidebar, but if you listen to all the media sessions with all the drafted rookies, these guys are smart. And they're football guys. They're high character guys. Yeah. All of them. So, you know, I'm really excited about that.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. I had to clean that up.
Well, be careful. We might get an R rating.
No, we're explicitly explicit.
We are.
So on the podcast, if you look hard enough, you'll find the thing that says explicit somewhere.
So. For adult audiences, yes.
Yeah, but you know, it's been a long time since Tom went on a rant, so, you know,
right? They might have to... Oh, are we talking about positional value already?
Oh, there we go!
You know, I was thinking still, we hadn't mentioned... the Broncos.
Oh, that's a good game.
And the
matchup with Peyton.
The coach.
Sean Payton.
And Dan Campbell.
Protege, Dan Campbell. Yeah, that'll be a great game.
Oh, man.
That's interesting.
I didn't think of that part of it, but yeah, that's...
And it's in Detroit, and it's TBD, right? It's one of the
to be determined. So that could be another game that's nationally televised.
Yeah, especially if Peyton
and we
gets
don't know which
Wilson turned around,
televised which station it would be because these games at the
end
of the
year.
Yeah,
they bid for them, right?
Yeah, it's just not AFC NFC specific.
Yeah,
right, to CBS and Fox.
Yeah,
so
it's all over the place now.
Yeah, anyone at the end of the year, those last four games, I guess, could be. Anywhere.
Yeah. Took me 50 years to figure it out, and I'll let go.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Now they changed
that
shit.
I thought it was totally
up,
random, and yet, no, there was a plan. And now they just up and changed it all. And now there's going to be a stream only on Peacock.
Yeah, Peacock. Jeez. One of our games on Peacock.
Wild card game. Wild Peacock card game.
Is Thursday, Thursday night game with Green Bay, I believe, is on Peacock, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to listen to that one on
radio. That's on Prime. Yes, it's on Prime. The Packers Week 4 Thursday night game is on Prime. Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. Okay.
Yes, it's a Prime only.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to watch that one on the radio.
You got your rabbit ears or something. So, I think that. That's about the schedule there. I think, you know, 11 and 6 it would be? Yeah, 11 and 6. Is that fair? 13?
Oh, yes.
11,
no,
13?
I don't want to go there yet. Most of the guys that I've seen that are already taking predictions for Detroit are talking somewhere 11 games, you know.
Well, this is the funny part.
Yeah.
Vegas has the over-under in Detroit 9.5, right? Everybody's betting over.
Yeah.
When the schedule came out, they're favored in 12 games.
Right. Out of 17.
Out of 17.
Yeah.
So 12-5, that's what I'll call it.
See? Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so I just think it's too early to say that.
I think usually lose one that you're not supposed to, and you usually win one that you shouldn't.
Right.
Yeah. You hope you luck into one more to get you to 13.
Yeah, to make up for that one that you should have won but didn't.
Yeah, I think 13. I think that if they win at home against. Seattle in their home opener, that they could sweep the table.
That'd be awesome.
And
that's what I think.
And then if you go 4-5 or 5-4 on the road, That's the difference between 12 and 13 wins.
So I think predicting you know, undefeated at home is not, you know, that's not too far out of order.
Right.
You know,
right.
At this point in time.
Now, you know, last year I had him at 7 wins.
Right.
Yeah.
I underestimated him last year. Maybe this year I'm overestimating him. You know.
Yeah. I'm hoping I'm at 11 that I'm underestimating him and 2 like I did last year. So
right.
Yeah. 13. Yeah. You know.
Well, we got 9 home games this 11, year. 13, so
eight.
Is it? I thought I counted. Oh, I counted the bye week. That's what I did.
That's a home game. Sure.
Yeah, it is a home game.
And they better win.
Yeah. They better.
No more of these ties.
Right. So, yeah, I think that's probably the goal of the schedule is to be undefeated at home. If you can do that, that is something, right?
Well, like, in years past, many of their toughest games or, you know, toughest teams, they played at home. They played the scrub teams away, mm-hmm. but that made it tougher because you were playing them away.
Right.
This year, it's almost... Again, almost the opposite.
It's almost,
they gave you the scrub teams at home.
Yep.
You know, and like when you go on the road, right. you're going to have to play, you know, better teams. The only non-scrub team at home, really, out of the gate, to me, is Seattle. You know, beyond that, it's like, you know, hell. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Raiders. You say Denver at home, Raiders at home.
Yep. And the Falcons.
You know.
Yeah, so, and then the big three.
Falcons or nothing?
Yeah.
I mean, your NFC, you should be able to handle all your NFC opponents.
Dallas away might be a tough
one,
too.
Playing, you're not playing 49ers. You're not playing Philadelphia this year because you don't have the first-place schedule. You have the second-place schedule.
Yeah.
So, you have Seattle and Dallas instead.
Right. Yep. Yeah. You should have been Seattle in the playoffs to begin with.
Yeah, damn it.
You got Seattle at home.
It wouldn't have changed.
This.
Yeah.
Right.
As far as scheduling.
Yeah.
Because you're still in second place, but.
Right.
Yeah, if you got Seattle on the road or at home.
Well, I don't know.
Seattle on the home, and we got Dallas on the road on week 17, and that would be one that. I don't know if that's going to be one to worry about or not, because usually by that week, Cowboys are pretty well beat up. So, and Dak would probably be out of it. But anyway,
they were a 12-win team last year.
Yeah,
yeah. But again, they're perennial Vikings. Yeah, you know.
Right. It was Cooper Rush?
Win
that took
way
over.
Too many games in the. Well, I mean, they got a good team, but they shouldn't have won 12 last year.
No,
I mean they weren't that good.
No. They're never that good.
Again, it's because the NFC is weak.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Same thing with Minnesota happened
so
last year.
They won 13 games. Should clean up.
Yeah, Minnesota won 13 games last year, you know. And it's like they were saying that was kind of like abracadabra. They pull them out of their hat, you know.
So, yeah.
They were.
Right? So,
lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Those last three games, Vikings, Cowboys, Vikings, you know, against two. You know, no-show teams, we're hoping, you know.
Vikings had 11 one-score games, and they won all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
That's a lot.
That's lucky.
It's nuts.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, you're going to regress to the mean a little bit there.
Oh, I think they didn't really do a whole lot to help their draft, but they are to help. They're in the draft to help their cause, but... I don't know. It all depends on Kirk Cousins because, you know, he can throw him out there. You know, he is that flyboy. You know, what else can you say? I mean, you know, he throws for 4,000 yards every year, you know.
So, yep.
Yeah, so, you know, but this is last year in his contract. So if he wants to go play for another team, he's going to have to do a lot better than what he has, you know. And so... I think it's going to all depend for Minnesota is what the weapons they have around Kirk Cousins.
Defense.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they got to improve that defense. And, you know, I don't see it happening.
They got to stop the Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing, you know, that's the other thing. You sweep at home and you sweep your division. That's, you know, an extra three games on the road. Or yeah, so you got eight. That's 11, right? That takes you, and then can you win those other road games?
Yeah, sweeping the division is harder than one last year. Yeah,
yeah, we almost did it last year.
We should get better.
Then we get worse.
4 points we lost to Minnesota by.
And I think we sweep Minnesota this year, and I think we sweep Green Bay too.
Yeah,
I think it's Chicago that might be.
They should be the best team because of their run game. Yeah, they should be the best team. It's stupid to say.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of people think that they'll finish second this year and behind the Lions.
Yeah, they should be. Yeah,
with Minnesota and Green Bay finishing last.
Yeah,
in a more competitive, Chicago only won three games last year.
Yeah, and I really don't see them winning. I only see them winning maybe six or seven this year. You know, it all depends on Fields. I mean, you know, he does a lot of running. Can he stay healthy doing that? And can he stay in the pocket and actually throw a pass?
Well, that's the thing. You know? It's like, can he progress and stay in the pocket?
Yeah.
You know, and be a more efficient offense?
Yeah. And
can they create a pocket and all that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and to Todd's point, Ohio State still has not really produced a quarterback who's been successful in the NFL.
Yeah.
No, they haven't. And, you know, you got to go a long way back.
Yeah, just say it's been a while.
Yeah. Well, I can you think of one, you know? I saw today on TV a stat saying that there hasn't been a quarterback in Chicago that's thrown for 4,000 yards in ever. How long? I didn't catch that part. As far as I know, it's history, you know?
Yeah.
So, but since the NFL formed, you know, because Chicago's was...
They've always been more of a run-based team, so...
Even the 84, 85 guys.
Well, yeah, it was Walter Payton.
Yeah, what's his name? Jim McMahon.
Yep.
You know, he wasn't a passer.
Not really.
Yeah. No, I think Justin Fields can be successful in the league. He's just got to learn to not run first. He's got to look for the pass, and he's got to watch his protection.
The wide receiver thing about him is that he did at least put the team on his back and try.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't get him six wins or anything,
No, when they played Detroit, he ran for 237 yards, and he lost by 1 point.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that just goes to show you can't really have your quarterback doing that if you want him to live throughout the season, you know.
Right.
He's going to end up in traction, you know, especially a kid that size, you know.
Yeah, but I hope they keep making the game easier for quarterbacks, you know.
No, but I just don't know what Chicago did for their offensive line, you know, and that's going to basically be the key to the whole 9 yards there.
Yeah, well, it was Darnell Washington, right?
The tight end.
Darnell Wright.
The tackle
that everyone wanted for the Lions.
Yeah, that's true. They did get him.
It took him pretty early.
Early.
But they traded back twice to get him, right? From one to
That's true.
To nine, and then to ten.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
It does. You know. I mean.
Yeah.
It's more ammunition. It's more value. It's
If Detroit needed a tackle, they probably would have taken the six.
Right.
Because it's better positional
value. Yeah, well, you know, like right now, what do we have on for tackles? You know, behind Penne and
Swoboda.
Yeah.
I ain't getting off topic because it just sends Randy in it.
It just spirals, man.
I got something I could talk about.
You got Nelson. You got Izay. You got Paulo. Galvin, who's an undrafted free agent, Swoboda, Cecil, they're all undrafted free agents, you know. And so, you know, that's all you kind of got, you know. And Nelson and Eze behind, in front of your undrafted free agent. Well, don't forget Paulo.
You know?
So, and Nelson's been there a while. They really kind of seem to like him. I mean, you know, I don't know if they're really bringing anybody to bring to
Swoboda. Yeah, to your point, though, actually, yeah, there is a lot of doubt there, really.
Yeah, there isn't.
Your 53 outstanding
starters, but not a ton of doubt.
Right, like who, if Sewell or Decker goes down, who's going to replace him? Who's going to take that step up and still be able to play at the level that, you know, Sewell, well, you know, nobody's going to really be able to do that.
Well, but maybe through OTAs, you know, and you know, spring training and all that kind of happy stuff, you know.
Yeah.
We'll start seeing some young guys, you know, that I mean, they look for athletic linemen.
Right.
You know, so guys that can move.
Sorsdahl is his size, right? Is very athletic.
Oh, very,
says,
yeah.
Right?
Moves
right.
Really
yeah.
well.
Yeah, Sorsdahl, I think, could probably be that big V replacement
next year,
you know, because his big V's contract, I think, runs out.
Yep. Him and Glasgow were both on.
Yeah, one-year contract last year. Yeah, so I think Sorsdahl, we'll have to see how he fits in, but I don't think that's going to be too much problem for him. Then the next question is what do they do with Jonah Jackson? I mean,
I think they resign him.
Yeah,
I hope so. Yeah. I really do.
Under his ass, man.
Came to that conclusion during the draft.
Yep.
So, I I'm glad for it because there was no one in the draft to replace him.
No, not really.
Even as like a developmental guy.
I mean, that was the thing. I mean, it was like,
I had hopes for some guys like, I was big on Nick. I got my thing here. But then guard in the second round, right? You know, and Randy kind of had talked me into all that stuff, into needing guard and
there was a veal and there was a
Nick Broker, you know, I was
Broker, yeah, he was guy that
he was in the Senior Bowl and it came
right,
out of
and
that.
I think he went in the middle rounds.
No, he ended up going freaking 203.
He was later.
Went real late.
Yeah. Okay. I was kind of like, you know, I totally missed on that, but you know, I'm not sure, you know, why I missed so much, but.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, like it's 230s it's
or
just
whatever,
a preference.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, a lot of these guys were the same. It was just a kind of a preference of, you know, is this guy a little bit, you know, got a little bit more length? Is this guy.
Is he a guard, tackle guard?
Yeah,
center guard,
you know. This guy's stronger, this guy's quicker, this guy, you know, but nobody really stood out, you know.
Yeah, because the other guy I was thinking around there.
It was a great draft to draft, you know, running backs, tight ends.
Hey there, Lions fans, we're back.
Oh, man.
Got shut off. I should probably put my phone on airplane mode, but
Something kicked it off.
Yeah.
Way to go, Rich.
Yeah. We were on offensive line, and Sorsdahl's a great athletic value pick, really. If he works out, right?
I hope he does, because
otherwise you are looking at Galvin, Cecil, and Swoboda, the undrafted guys, to take over for Eze and Paulo and Nelson. It seems like, maybe it's just Nelson and Sorsdahl, and there you go.
Right,
Abishika.
Well, that's why I'm kind of, you know, hoping that they do sign Jonah Jackson. I mean, if they do give him an extension, you think that would happen before 53? What do you think?
I think in the next offseason.
You think so?
Yeah.
No, I think extension means he's still got a year to go. I mean, it would be smart to do it now because you got to still pay him for a year, but it would only be a 3-year contract would put him at 4 years.
Yeah, you could actually do it now.
Yeah, you could do it with Goff. You could do it with
Goff. I would be good because he's got 2 years left. If you give him 3 years, then now he's up at 5 years, but for only a 3-year raise, you know, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that maybe this is more imminent because there's only 1 year left on his contract, as you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe Jonah Jackson would be
a smart deal
to this year to give him his extension.
Right. You know, it would be.
I think before the season starts.
But if his agent is looking for big money, you know, then they might have to wait and let him test the market, you know, and then see if they can match it.
Yeah. So they seem to be generally fine with that.
Yeah.
They tell their guys, go test the market, then come back.
Yep. When you find out what everybody else thinks you're worth, come on back.
Come on back. Yeah. We're
just playing out our contracts here. No big deal.
Yeah.
You know, no big deal.
No, yeah. That's the difference between him and a GM like Brad Holmes versus a GM like those other buffoons we've had in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the guys know what the heck they're doing.
Oh, I saw somebody, I think it was this morning, I was reading, somebody was praising the Browns for, you know, how improved their front office was. And I'm like, didn't they hire Bob Quinn?
Yeah.
And that quarterback?
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they brought in Bob Quinn, and the first thing they did was
go get Lamar Jackson, the other guy from Houston.
Yeah, from Houston.
Yeah.
Watson.
And
gave him a huge contract.
Oh,
and I'm like, that sounds like Bob Quinn.
Yeah, but that wasn't the front office. That's the owners, right? Yeah. The owners allowing them to pay him that much and upsetting the owners across the board.
Bob don't care.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't care. Wasn't he hired?
He's from New England.
Wasn't he?
He does no wrong.
Wasn't he hired to be like a senior draft analyst or something like that? Or
Bob Quinn?
Bob Quinn, yeah.
Is not his thing.
No, I know.
He's always been on the pro.
He's just like a senior advisor.
Yeah, or GM. He's assistant GM or something.
Oh, that would suck. Sorry, Cleveland.
I think Bob Quinn is a cancer in the NFL, but that's just my opinion.
It's a fair trade for Quinn to Dorsey.
Big time.
Oh, man.
Big time.
Yeah, well, Tom, I don't think you'd have anything to worry about. You're in Lions country. You know, there's a lot of people out there that think Bob Quinn really messed us up. You know, the Quinn Patricia years, you know. Messed us up more than Millen did? I'm not so sure, but it was a continuation.
Millen was here for, eight years?
8 years. Eight or nine.
He did a lot of screwing up, but then he just ended up
screwing
himself.
He was here for 9 years.
9 years.
No,
yeah.
Eight.
I thought it was eight, because Fonz was here for 8 years.
And then Mayhew took over and was here for another seven.
Yeah.
Right? And then Quinn got five. And that completed the two decades totally inept.
Yep.
GM.
Bullshit freaking rosters.
You can see how quickly it can turn around.
No understanding how to build a roster whatsoever.
Yeah. You see how fast it turned around now.
Two seasons.
Done, you know, in 7 years. What they could have done in 8 years.
Oh, my God.
They didn't do in the first three, and then that screwed them for, the rest of their careers.
Well, on the other hand, we didn't have an owner back then that really wanted to participate in spending the money that he's making with football.
Hire the right person. He just hired his friends.
Right. His daughter's doing a hell of a lot better job than he did, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah. I'm 100% behind you.
That's exactly, I thought the problem was
100%.
But, yeah, not to overly bash those guys. Mayhew's over in Washington, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's giving him credit. He's doing a nice job. Oh, he learned from his mistakes in Detroit. We'll see.
Yeah. That's like
these guys just don't understand how to build a team.
Right.
Now, I'll give Quinn credit in that he understood that, like New England does, the backbone of your team basically is your offensive line.
He did a great job.
And he did good job with that, even though he had to draft 19 fucking offensive linemen to get, three or four good ones. But he understood that those were important.
And somehow Stenberg's still around.
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah. I didn't even write him on the board. Yes. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, he's still Stepper. Yeah.
The first draft of Quinn Patricia was Frank Ragnow. So, and that was outstanding.
Cornerstone. You know, and so he tried going about it in the correct way in some ways.
But it was, I mean,
fell into traps.
Otherwise. Yeah, to me, it was just like Mayhew. I mean, Stafford was the pick, his number one pick. Mm. Every pick after that, as far as I'm concerned, was bullshit.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Everybody, what do you say about Sue? You know, he was number two, you know, next year.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, you should have drafted Trent Williams.
Oh, I've seen,
I mean, if they drafted, you know, and I've said this a million times, but if they drafted Mack at center instead of Pettigrew, and they drafted Williams and Rob Gronkowski instead of Sue and Javid Best.
Yep.
Moved up back in the first round to get Javid Best.
They did, yes.
I mean, look how much better team they would have been.
Yeah.
Just from those simple picks.
Yeah.
And there was so many other picks that they gave away, those running backs after that.
The center. You wanted him to take the center.
Alex Mack.
Yeah. He went to Cleveland, I think.
Yeah. I mean, they had two Pro Bowl centers in that draft, and Quinn's or Mayhew's first act as a GM was to re-up Riola.
Yeah, oh my God.
Let's get a little stump. He's a Lions guy.
Don't do it.
Well, that's wonderful, but, you know, he's a stump, and, you know, he's like the 23rd best center in the league. How about get a real center?
He's the reason
Stafford. In the fourth round.
Raiola's the reason.
Late first.
Least first, yeah.
Max Unger went high second.
Oh, right.
Guys were perennial Pro Bowl centers, AFC, NFC.
Yeah.
They went in that draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys remember right, Raiola was the reason that Stafford went back-to-back broken collarbones.
And we took Pettigrew.
Pettigrew. I do remember.
Duck!
Throw it in his ankles. It's the only place he catches it. That way he can fall down right away and not get hit.
Yeah, that worked for Pettigrew. And
he was great at catching those ankle catches. Yeah. Remember that was the game they broke their losing streak was that last second pass when Stafford blew his shoulder out.
Right.
You know, ran back in
because of Don Raiola
instead of Culpepper. Get that clown out of here. I'm back in.
I can play.
Yeah, the other team was stupid enough to call a timeout.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he threw a pass at Pettigrew's ankles, and he caught it.
Touchdown.
Touchdown. Game over.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, Stafford was a hero. And it was like, all you got to do is throw at Pettigrew's ankles. He'll catch every one.
Gosh.
No, seriously, anything above his waist, he could not
Wasn't
catch.
Wasn't that one where he threw it right at his head and he
ducked? He ducked. Yeah, it was a pick six.
Yeah.
We've had some real winners. First round tight ends.
You can't get the ball with your face.
Yeah, don't get me started on Eric Ebron. Todd jinxed us on that one. He called, Tom and I are sitting there just before the draft. Todd calls up and says, hey, what's the stupidest thing they can do? Draft a tight end. And sure enough, freaking Eric Ebron. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's old and sad history.
Yep, it's Todd's fault. Todd's fault.
Now, Laporta, they took at 34, second round, high second rounder, top end receiving guy. You know, can put him in multiple positions out wide, in the slot, on the line, in the backfield.
Yards after the catch.
Yeah. I mean, here's a guy that's where you take a top tight end.
Yep.
You know, and then grab fourth and fifth rounders like Mike Mitchell, you know. Undrafted free agents, like, you know.
Yeah. You know, we had talked about tight end a bit, you know, as a position as a whole. We didn't really dive into the individual guys because we were thinking it'd be later. I really thought that they were looking to just beef up the bottom end And I still was looking for a blocking tight end. I wasn't giving a shit about.
To me, it was. I was surprised to see that we even drafted a tight end. I mean, I thought they were happy with what we had, but now we got like five of them on the roster. You know.
He's a better receiver. I think he's going to be better than Hockenson.
And that's good because I hear. You know, they say don't call him a tight end because he basically is an offensive weapon. You can put him anywhere, line him up wide,
he
inside.
Runs tough.
Didn't he line up out wide at Iowa more than any receiver they
had? just about, yeah.
So, I mean.
He was their offense.
Yeah.
They lined him up everywhere.
Well, you know, to me, that's going to be good because you know how I always wanted that big outside guy that goes fast, you know, and catches everything that comes in a circle. Yeah. To me, they could move him around like that. They put him on the outside and then maybe put Jamo over on the other side.
The thing that sets him apart is his suddenness in the routes. That's where you get separation. And, he's good. He's quick.
That's awesome. We needed that on our team. It's one thing that Detroit kind of was lacking in their defense last year was speed, you know. Their cornerbacks, their legs are going 100 miles an hour. What's the matter?
I don't know. We're just talking about tight ends.
Yeah, I know it. But it's just, all right, never mind. Tight end. Now you got me all thrown out.
I don't know where the speed was, and you went to the defense and cornerbacks right out of the gate.
Oh, well, because I always mix up LaPorta and is the guy that we drafted who's on defense, the linebacker from Iowa.
Campbell.
I get them mixed up, you know, and that's why I do that, you know.
Oh, no, we're going to have to
because they're both from Iowa.
I know, that's great.
We're talking about tight ends and I call LaPorta Campbell or call Campbell LaPorta, don't get surprised.
Right, because Mitchell.
Yeah, they're both from Iowa.
Yeah exactly.
Because Mitchell and Houston that got drafted next to each other? Or no, it was something. Because he kept mixing up Mitchell and some other guy.
It was tight end in Houston.
Yeah.
In Houston, James Houston. Yeah. The guy was mixing those guys up.
Yeah.
So, tight end and, you know, basically an outside linebacker, you know. I get my tight ends and my linebackers mixed up. Yeah, so that's it. That's the ticket.
It's up to us to adjust.
Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. You know me for years.
Now listen. Now, one thing I wasn't surprised at, you know, was we didn't draft a defensive end. We didn't draft a defensive tackle, three tech.
Right.
That didn't surprise me all that much.
The three tech surprised
the
me.
The three tech is...
Well, we talked about it a lot, though.
I think is overvalued. Now, everybody talks about the defensive line and, oh, this is positional value. I don't give defensive tackle positional value at
all.
Right. I don't ever think you should take a defensive tackle in the first round. Fucking ever!
And there's the explicit part. We're good.
We made it. Got to hit our quota.
Yeah, no shit.
But yeah.
And I just don't get it. Why everybody thinks if they rush the passer. Well, if. That's a huge if.
And if.
When they come out of college.
How long?
Yeah, and it usually takes them a couple, 3 years. If you get that great defensive tackle that can push the pocket.
We just went through the fifth-year option of Okuda and all the guys that got drafted with him in the first round, and it was a pretty much historic year for failure on a part of those first-rounders. And so a guy that everyone wanted but it was either like Okuda or Derek Brown, right? A defensive tackle.
Yeah,
Derek Brown. He's still playing.
Sure.
But I can't make the connection.
So is A'shaun Robinson, right? Has he got a team yet?
Sue doesn't have a team yet. He's still out
there.
Sue's doing TV.
Older.
I saw him on ESPN the other day.
He was on Good Morning America?
Good Morning Football?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. It was with...
Oh, Yeah,
MJ.
MJ?
Yeah. Oh. He was with MJ.
Okay.
From the Giants.
The girl that does
so the NFL Network.
Total Access.
Yeah.
The NFL Network. He was on the NFL Network. Okay. So but you didn't see it because you don't have that.
No.
So you saw him on ESPN?
He
spent like 2 days on
I
on
do
NFL
have
Network.
The NFL Network.
Okay, because he spent 2 days.
Yeah, and NFL I don't remember Network. If it was ESPN or if it was...
It was TV.
Good Morning though. Football.
Yeah, it was on TV.
Good Morning been, Football.
It might have been there. I don't know.
No, did I don't have? Think it was Good Morning Football. It could have been like NFL Now.
Yeah.
On ESPN.
Yeah, because he was with MJ for like, and so they did, Total Access and NFL Now. And, Baldy.
Right,
Yeah.
Could very well be.
He's looking for a team. He's going to win. He joined the Eagles like in November last year. So.
Yeah, who was it? Was it Eric? I think it was Eric Schlitt that said, Sue's going to wait. He'll sign with somebody like the last, 6 weeks of the year.
Right.
Who's got the best chance to go to a Super Bowl?
Give me a ring.
Yeah,
another one. Tampa
that's all
Bay.
He's looking for. I mean, he's a businessman.
Yeah,
he did a nice job. I like Sue. But he was a dirty player, and that kind of gave Detroit a bad rap.
It did, and they couldn't afford to keep him, they could have afforded to keep him.
Yeah,
if they
had done his job.
Their cards right. Yeah,
yeah. That's what got him fired. I mean, Martha was like, "You promised me." Sorry, you're out.
Yeah,
you promised me. You didn't come through, and your product sucked.
Yeah,
so you're out.
Yeah,
I love Martha.
You're fired.
I love Martha.
You're fired.
You're good. You're fired.
I mean, I love Martha.
She started the whole thing.
Yeah, her and Rod Wood did not do a good job when they brought in Bob
right.
Quinn.
Bob
yeah,
Quinn,
it,
yeah.
In that
too much.
That was
during that 4 years. They were learning. They were figuring it out. But she had Sheila at her right hand side. Just like Junior was with his dad, except Junior's a space cadet and non-competitive.
Yeah.
He was more interested in playing golf with the boys afterwards out at the country club.
Yeah.
And, so Sheila spent those 4 years with her mom, right in the thick of the NFL.
Yeah, and she saw that the NFL did not do Detroit any favors by, their suggested committee.
Right,
that was going to help her out because, they knew Martha knew nothing about what was going on.
Yeah, they might have taken advantage of her
I kind of believe they did.
Yeah,
I mean, they sent her a guy that was really quite crappy at picking shit up.
He did. It was like, well, he's the best we got.
He only interviewed.
But the bottom
people.
Line was that Martha was reaching out, and that's what she taught Sheila. And now Sheila is actually, she grew up with it.
She got held back.
Yeah, and she's, this is a so very smart woman.
She's
very smart.
Seen it all.
And she grew up in a man's world, and in the end, she was basically willing to break down all the barriers. You'll bring in people from the organization like Chris Spielman. Well, I wasn't crazy about, but Chris, he bled Lions.
He's a great
and
go-between.
That was the difference.
Chris is a great go-between, the players, the coaches and the coaches, players, and management.
Yeah,
he's
they
like
brought
a
in
really
Barry,
good communication
they brought
guy.
In people that she felt she could trust, that cared about the organization.
Yep.
And that's
one thing Dan Campbell has talked about. He's like, she's willing to spend the money. He's like, you need this. Maybe it was even Brad Holmes. I forget who it was. Like, you need this position. You need this person. Okay, well, here's a check. Hire him. Bring him on board. Let's go.
Sheila has not been afraid to.
And that
to
was
spend
I
money.
Mean, when people used to say, the Forest need to spend money on the team. It's well, they would. They wanted to buy players. They wanted more. It's like, no, owners don't buy players. They buy coaches, and you know, they spend their money in other ways, but they're not buying your players for you. And that ain't how it works. You know,
well, they just didn't
don't understand that.
Back then, when Daddy had a team, they just didn't have anybody that really understood what contracts were all about.
Yeah, even when the owners do suck, they're still not buying the players.
It was a glorified bean counter, you know?
Well, that's what, you know, William Clay had. I mean, he had his best buddy, you know, Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, and then they turned it over to the bean counter. You know, and then they turned it over to Millen, you know, oh, my buddy, you know, I drink a beer with, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, shit went downhill from there.
Well, I mean, it was always people that he felt he could trust personally, but really didn't have football sense.
Right.
I mean, they didn't bring in, they didn't keep people that were really good football people.
Right, yeah.
I mean, they didn't keep Belichick.
No, they didn't keep him.
You know, right. I mean,
he
you
wasn't
Monty,
Belichick yet, but he was. You didn't keep the guys you had.
Yeah, Monty Clark.
Yeah, great coach.
I mean, you know, it was, they were sitting there going, "Well, why isn't Monty, you know, winning more?" It's like, you're picking fullbacks in the first round. I mean, come on, give them something to work with.
Yeah,
you know. But then it was, you know, to William Clay, it was all about offense. It was all about making points. And it was all about putting people in the seats.
Yeah.
And that's all he cared about.
And that's what he did.
And it worked.
It worked.
Yeah. You could, I mean, you could lose, you know, all season long. But if you were putting up points and putting people in the seat, he didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody talks about, you know, the Fords talk about, oh, we care about winning. No, Martha and Sheila cared about winning.
Yeah.
You know, finally. I think William Clay and Bill Jr. cared more about the golf batch afterwards, you know, bragging with their buddies.
Yep, and the bourbon.
You know, whatever. You know, it was all about bragging with their buddies. It wasn't about winning. And Sheila is about winning.
Yeah, because she's a sports girl herself. I mean, you know, she was a tennis champion back in
the day.
You're
darn right.
So, right, you know, right. She knows what being competitive is all about.
Yeah.
Daddy
and Martha
so
was
much.
A firestone. Right. You know, and I think Sheila's got a little bit of that.
A little fiery.
Yeah, but I like the first thing that Sheila said when she took over was, we are not asking the NFL to put together a committee for us. We are putting together our own committee. And, and it was all Lions-orientated people.
Right.
And it was great.
Yep. I think she'd done a hell of a job. Anyway, what else you guys want to talk about?
Wide receiver.
Yep.
Mr. Alexander, the new draft pick, right?
Antoine Green.
Sorry.
Yeah, I like him.
Antoine Green. I'm sorry.
Alexander might not even going to make the team, dude.
No, I know. It was Antoine. Antoine and Alexander.
Yeah, I like Antoine Green. Seventh-round pick.
You.
And that's just about what I think of this year's wide receiver class.
Right.
That Antoine Green, as far as I'm concerned, is right in the middle group that could have been picked anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere from third to seventh round.
See, I had him on my list, my initial list, but I didn't hear anything after, and so I didn't really dive into him and didn't transfer him into like a, you know, my Lions needs or picks, you know. But he is sort of an X, not really, but kind of.
Well,
kind of.
I mean, that's kind of where his position is.
Taking it to.
I don't know if he's quick enough to be
a
Z.
He runs a 4.47 40.
Yeah, I mean a 4.47. If you got
it's
size,
it's a high 4.4, but it's still 4.4.
Yeah,
if you
got size, you know, 6'2", 200. That's
6'2", 200.
You know,
yeah,
not 6'4", 6'5, but it's
6'2".
Yeah, he's not a contested catch guy, which isn't really what we want. You know, I mean,
they say he's 50-50.
Is
you know,
he?
He can go up.
Okay.
He catches with his hands.
He can be, but that's not all he is.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So when I
remember
say,
he was number
when
two.
I say he's not a 50-50 guy. I mean, that's like not his only thing.
Yeah.
That's.
I mean, they pretty much use him in North Carolina as basically just a vertical threat, right? His teammate, Downs?
Downs.
I have no clue.
Went to, I think, Green Bay, didn't he? Third round? Second round?
Yeah. And, which was a steal. He could have been a second rounder for all we knew.
He
does have a little bit more experience. He's a fifth year senior.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's going to.
A lot of fifth year seniors this year, you know, because of the COVID year.
Yeah.
Josh Downs.
Yeah.
Josh Downs.
Josh Downs.
That's a great name.
Josh Downs. So, if Drayton have Amon Ra, Josh Downs might have been a nice pick for them.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere right, in that range. Or late second.
You could have taken Jackson Smith and Jigba. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And that's what we were talking about earlier. Like, it's last year they traded up to 12 for.
Yeah, Jaylen, 12. Right? Outside the top 10.
Unless
you're Kelvin Johnson,
wide receivers
need to go outside the top 10 as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
When you're talking about positional value.
Slot guys, right? Like in Jigba.
A lot of guys have wide receivers ahead of cornerbacks, which I don't.
No, I wouldn't either. You know, well, depending on the quarterback and the wide receiver.
No, I'm talking about his positional value.
Well, exactly, but it like you said, it's unless he's Kelvin Johnson. Like Kelvin Johnson's gonna be ahead of Akuda.
Yeah, right? Well, naturally.
Yeah. So yeah.
Well, but I mean, Kelvin Johnson's gonna be ahead of a good left tackle or even a decent quarterback.
Right.
You know that isn't a superstar.
Right. So that's where positional.
Yeah, I mean that's where you gotta use common sense with it.
They're a little Twitter.
Yeah, you don't take bullshit players just because they're slotted in positional value. Yeah. That's stupid.
That's like we were saying, he traded up last year to 12 for JMO. Did he have a sniff of this year's wide receiver class?
Sure they do.
Right? And you're like, shit, we
they already know what's coming out next year, for the most part.
They should. I trust
what next year's draft strength is going to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should always be a year ahead. You got to be a year ahead in that.
Right.
What you got, Randy?
Well, when you talk about wide receivers, the first thing I think of is how fast are the guys, how big are they, stuff like that, And we brought in, two wide receivers, this year. With Mr. Green, we also
I usually think of how good are their hands.
Well, that's a good point, too, Tommy. I want to know.
How good are they out of cuts? So,
that's true, too, but I want to know how fast they are. I mean, I've watched many, many years of having slow receivers in Detroit.
Like Jerry Rice?
Nah, I don't.
It was a wet track.
Hey, look, Cephas was the slowest 40 time out there, but he still got open because he ran good routes. Tom's points are legitimate.
He had some size.
Yes,
exactly. And he caught with his hands.
Yes, he had good hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember.
There was a lot of good about Cephas, even though he was slow.
There was.
But where I'm going with this is...
Anyway, I'm sorry, Randy.
It's okay, Tom. You're a guest here. You can do it. Oh. Cut me off anytime. But, just talking about the speed,
That means I'm out for a while.
You're out, Warren. You're welcome.
Here we go again. Chase Cota runs a 4.5 like Cephas did, okay? Chase Cota is an undrafted free agent. He runs a 4.5 40. He's also a fifth year senior, 6'4", 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Transfer out of UCLA to Oregon. So
future Big Ten team in UCLA.
Right. But I'm just saying he could possibly be your Cephas replacement, but it depends on how he runs routes. We don't know that.
Sure.
But when you're talking about speed, and I'm not going off kilter here. I'm just using this as an example. The guy that I really like is Sterling Thomas V. Now, he is a kick returner, but he plays cornerback. He has 4.3 speed.
Yeah, he's fast.
He is fast. Now, other than anybody on our team, who do we have returning kickoffs? Because I think this kid right here may have been drafted for such, or brought in for such a thing.
Raymond.
Right.
Well, Raymond's punt return. Yeah. I think almost any of the running backs.
Yeah, we got rid of Jackson.
Any of the running backs are kick return. I think there's a rookie or undrafted.
George Bell. Reynolds.
Free agent, like cornerback or safety.
Right, but do they have? The question is, do they have 4.3 speed? And that's why I think.
This guy is the guy that I might be thinking of.
Yeah, Sterling Thomas the V.
Yeah.
Or Starling.
Starling.
Starling. Starling Thomas the V.
Yeah.
I just kind of thinking that's probably the reason they brought him in is to compete, you know, with everybody else on
Randy Man roster.
Yeah. I think it's the only way he can.
But they're looking at speed. I like that.
And that was my whole point, you know.
Across the board. Literal board.
We were talking about wide receivers, but, you know, he's got receiver speed, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And it put him back there on kickoff returns. I think that would be pretty electric. I do. I don't know how good he would be in finding the gaps and stuff.
He's a cornerback, so maybe he beats out Lucas.
He could.
Yeah.
You know, gets that last spot.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Lucas. But they might use Gibbs, you know.
Melifonwu, you know, is he getting beat out?
Or Melifonwu, if one of the undrafted free agents.
Yeah. The running back, Ibrahim. Ibrahim.
Because Melifonwu is only... benefit really has been on special teams.
Yeah, we're talking about safety and
that should be quite a battle, though. Really,
Joseph out of Notre Dame, I think might challenge him.
Yeah,
I mean, last year didn't they even put Okuda back there?
Well,
special teams, yeah, they were using him in special teams.
On kickoff returns. They put a bunch of people back there. Look, Tom Kennedy was even back there.
Everybody has to play special teams, you know, on a Dan Campbell team. It's kind of like a John Harbaugh team, you know, right? Everybody plays special teams.
You got it.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big thing come August, and with the 53-man projections, is which side of the ball and which position.
Where special teams can come from.
Yeah, are they going to be extra safeties, extra linebackers?
Right.
Yeah. Right. They seem this to be the guys.
This Nowoski kid?
Right.
Yeah. At linebacker, 6'2", 237, something like that. Right.
Yeah, 240, 237.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, 6'2", and boost.
I like a 240.
Runs really well. I mean, you know, he might beat out Pittman. For that last special team linebacker job. Breaking. Yeah, I mean, Pittman's been around for a while. Yes. He's been, he's an untracked free agent that's been around for a while.
Yeah. You got some
guys that, you got to beat out. Maybe these guys make the practice squad this year. I mean, nobody's going to... I mean, right. They're special teams guys.
See a lot of these guys on there, on the practice squad. Yeah. You know, I do.
Yeah, and then next year, you know, maybe they unseat, you know, a couple of the special teams guys.
So, yeah, I'll bet you now we could go through this list and figure out who's going to be on our practice squad, you know. They always have a few additions from other teams, but...
We always have, 20 guys for the practice squad. He'll be in the practice squad.
Yeah. Not everybody can make the practice squad.
Yeah, not all 90.
Yeah, because you go from 90 to 53, you can't have 40.
not all 37.
They're going back to one cut this year, too.
Are they?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah. They're not going
to... They're not staggering it, so it's from 90 to 53.
Well, it only went like 5-5.
True.
Well, last year.
They changed last year.
And that's good. I mean, these guys get to play 4 NFL games no matter what. You know, they're
three now. So
they get to play.
Yeah, you know? It makes good sense. I mean,
A guy could develop, could catch on somewhere between game one and game three.
Well, I have a feeling that teams that have veterans that are going to get beat out by young players are going to get released early anyway.
Right.
Right. So they can find another team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody's going to carry 90 all the way to the end because it's just redundant.
Yep. Yeah. You know, they kind of have a tendency of doing that, letting the veterans go a little sooner so they have the time.
Time to catch on with somebody else.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, and that's that. I like that. I've always liked that.
And it's interesting how we've actually added a bunch of, well, I guess you could call them veterans in the cornerback and, not so much the safety room. GJ is, I consider him a nickel corner.
Yeah, and he's safety.
But he is a safety.
Yeah, we're loaded at safety.
Yeah, oh, we are.
And they're all, a lot of veterans. And, so they hit that hard and didn't. And then, so what about Branch? Do you consider Branch a value pick, or was he picked in an area or spot where he deserved to be picked? Was it like just that's where you wanted him, or was it too late or too early?
I think this is a guy, again, that team's missed out on because he's looked at as a safety, and so they're, we can't take a safety that early, I mean, safety is a third round value. I actually heard a guy say, hey, you could have got this guy in the third round. What the hell? Or somebody equivalent. Everybody talks about somebody equivalent. You get the same guy. No, you can't get the same guy.
Not the same guy. Same position.
Well, and quit saying that. I mean, you guys are morons to say that.
I actually think they got him to, Branch to play behind CJGJ in case CJGJ is only here for 1 year. Because that's a possibility for that.
Good possibility.
He could be the starter next year, So, right. But that depends on how he develops, how he plays this year. We haven't seen him play other than college,
I think he's, his positional value was good. A lot of people had him coming off the board, higher, much higher than that.
Yeah.
As late as the, late first round, as early as the late first round. And they were surprised that he was still there. I think he's a smart defensive player, defensive back.
Yep.
That you play close to the line. You definitely don't put out on a corner, out on an island with a speedster.
Right.
But he's really smart. He can do a lot of, the safety stuff. He can play in the nickel.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes all over the place. He can put wherever on.
And he's good. And the thing about him was, something like he missed two tackles last year,
right?
Something like that. And he's like the second best, defensive tackler in all college football.
Yeah,
right.
Last year.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So
just like an incredible tackler.
Yeah, I mean, you get those guys. I mean,
cheers
he takes
tackles.
Over the role that Okuda should have had as a second rounder. Glad you picked
I
up.
I see
on
what
that.
You did there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mr. Twisted. Yeah.
But, yeah, Okuda could have been a really good player, a second rounder.
Right. He can still be a second round value.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what he is now. He's got to get it through his head that he's not a first round talent.
Yeah.
That's Okuda's biggest problem.
First round physical.
He thinks he's that good, and he's not.
Every time he turns around looking for the ball, he falls down or slows down.
The other corners in that draft didn't fare any better, because when we were looking, I was looking at the free agent class, and then I started looking at guys that were drafted in Okuda's class and who was up, because maybe that'd be a good replacement, and I was like, no. I really didn't want
it wasn't that great of a class, was it?
No.
Yeah.
It's so that was quite enlightening. just like, I mean, the Lions were just screwed.
And again, that's when all the experts say, oh, this is the best cornerback of his class. He deserves to be in the top 10, top 5.
Right.
Now, wait. Just because his positional value says that he should be in the top 10,
oh boy,
the talent doesn't match. Even if he is the best player coming out of that draft.
Here we go.
He sucks.
Here we go.
Well, yeah, I've been impressed in the last 2 years that the quarterbacks are actually going where they're supposed to.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's quite a revelation. And yeah, we,
it's
we
like
talked
don't
about
take
it.
A scrub cornerback, you know,
at number three.
Yeah, number three. I mean, that's stupid.
Yeah, we talked about it with Rocky when he was here about just, you know,
don't take Trubisky over Mahomes. Right. Yeah. That's stupid. That just tells you you've
Willis
got morons running your team.
Yeah, and where guys were going to go this year, you know, it was tough, you know, and because you're trying to, when you're talking about mock drafts or are you going to take a quarterback in the third round, and how many have gone already, so who's actually going to be available in the third round, and so you're like, okay, well, quarterbacks really, positional value is like way out of whack, so, you know, how do you adjust, and then how do you adjust to the team's not adjusting like the past, but now it seems that the teams are adjusting.
Yeah, you know, and that right, and to some extent that really changed the whole drafting process of people understanding that, you know, you can't just draft by positional value. This isn't.
This
isn't fantasy football,
right?
I mean, people just don't get it. This is a fantasy football.
No, because basically Detroit, what they did this year was draft this year for next year. And that's what you can do when your team, the nucleus, is set up the way that Quinn and Holmes and Campbell have set Detroit up, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, I know.
You should always be drafting for the future.
Yeah, always.
Not worrying about, you know, oh my God, I need this guy this year.
Yeah.
That's nonsense.
Yeah, it just
that sets you up for failure.
It really just worked out in the sense that, oh, we'd really like to have an offensive tackle. Oh, well, there's Sewell. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'd love to have a defensive end. Oh, well, there's
well,
a couple
Sewell
to
came at
from.
Seven, but yeah.
Hockenson.
But Chase, but Chase Young, is it Chase
or
Young? What's the offer?
Oh,
what's
the wide receiver? Yeah, Chase.
Cincinnati?
Yeah, Chase. Jamar Chase.
Yeah, Jamar Chase.
Yes.
Yeah, Lions would have picked him if he'd been there.
Yeah, and that could have set up a whole other chain of events with,
you know,
not having to,
yeah,
to get Jamar.
So to me, it's like a little bit of luck has handed us the right thing. Because quite frankly, I think if they'd taken Chase in the first round instead of Sewell,
man,
it wouldn't look that good.
No, it wouldn't. No.
I mean, maybe he had a good idea for another right tackle, but boy, right. I'm sure glad they got Sewell.
Oh, me too.
So glad.
Yeah, well, he'll be a Detroit Lion forever, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
If I was in charge of his contract, I'd give him a lifetime contract. You know? The way that guy plays, holy crap. You know,
it's just like this year. You know, they didn't get Witherspoon, but after missing out on that, they traded back, and they got two guys.
Yeah.
You know, in Gibbs, you know, and Laporta.
While still getting Campbell sandwiched in
the middle. Yeah. And they're in that window of win now. So they can take players. Running backs start out, you can play them right out of the gate. In fact, most of them do. They have 5, 6, 7 year at tops.
Yep.
That's their lifespan. It's the last guy that you get grab when your team's ready to go. It's your top running back. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know, same way with the linebackers. They filled in. They found the linebacker that they wanted finally after 3 years.
Right.
You know, in the high rounds,
hasn't been available.
And they grabbed them.
Yeah.
You know, linebackers get hurt. They're, you know, they have a tendency to have a shortened career. You know, it's in their third year. You took the offensive tackles, the defensive ends. You did all that in the first, you know, couple years.
Yeah.
You know, now you can afford to go ahead and grab guys that have a little shorter shelf life. They're top-notch guys.
And you still worked on your DB room this year.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And you still managed to fill out, add depth.
Because there wasn't
I think they're doing a great job.
Free agency was really good besides what they did.
And it's a damn good thing it
huge.
Does.
It's awesome. Huge. Yeah, it was just like, holy
crap. They couldn't
get
Witherspoon, so it was a damn good thing they did the
safety
room the way they did.
I'll tell you what, in the last couple...
And they didn't go for the next best guy at the cornerback position. I mean, they just
We got to get Gonzalez at six.
Witherspoon's gone. I guess we'll take Gonzalez. It's like... He's not even on our board.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So neither is Tyree Wilson. Neither is the defense tackle.
Jalen Carter.
Yeah. Carter. I mean, they have guys like Chris M says, you know. He sat back in the room, are these Lions guys?
And this is the thing. When they took Jack Campbell, it's a good thing Randy's got a fairly tall ceiling in his living room there, because I nearly jumped through it.
That's not saying much. You're pretty tall.
Yeah. Glad Sealy was a little taller than him. than he can jump anyway.
Yeah. I guess I still ducked as I jumped.
Jack Campbell was a big grab for you.
It was because first of all,
I like it. I do too.
I love it. He's a good football player, right? Just
super.
I would be excited to take him, but the fact that I didn't think there was any chance in hell they could have gotten him, you know. I was fine with overdrafting at 18. I've been talking since February that they're going to have to overdraft guys in this first round because they all suck.
Well, you know? and the beauty of it is they can go after the guys that they want and overdraft them. They're only overdrafting them because of their position in the draft.
Right.
I mean, if
they had 15 and 30 and took these two guys, who would care?
If they took Jack Campbell, you know, 3 years ago, at six,
it
would have been shit, you know. But, yeah, now is the last guy that fills out your team.
It doesn't matter. If you feel they're the most talented guy in your board, you grab them.
In 3 years, they've built a team through the draft.
Yeah.
And they're going to start winning.
And their eye for talent is a lot better than the eyes for talent of the GMs that have been here in the past. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, they're doing a hell of a lot better job.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just this year, you know, next year. I mean, they're set up for a decade.
Yeah.
They really are.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, right now, I'll be disappointed if they don't win in Kansas City.
I know. It's almost.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like, the upset
should be
you're going to try hard and I'm cool with it. It's like, no.
They're going out there. And they're going to take these guys out.
Like I said before, I think the beginning of the season is the best time to play Kansas City because, you know, I mean,
got lots of time to prep for them.
Yeah, for us, but they don't really know what we got. We know kind of what
slow
they are.
Starting team.
Well, you know, they always win their opener,
But there's a second half team in that opener, is what I guess I'm getting at, right? They may start off.
Everybody
slow.
Says when Andy Reid has time to prepare.
Right.
It's like, you know, he always wins openers, he always wins after the bye week.
Yeah. I've heard that kind of thing. Yeah. You've got a lot of time to prepare for a team.
Yeah, I don't know if they're blowing everybody
out. We'll see.
I don't know if he really understands what Detroit's all about. Ben Johnson's second year offense.
This is a hungry
defense. Yeah, how could he? That's my question, you know?
No, this is like Rocky. This is like Rocky 2, Rocky 3.
Yeah.
Right? And the big Russian walks in, you know.
That's three.
Rocky 3. You know, the big Russian walks in, and I'm going to destroy you.
Destroyer.
Oh, yeah, well, he's got that hypodermic needle sticking out of his right. arm.
Except Detroit's going to be, you know, square. But, you know, none of that, Randy. None of that.
No. That wasn't, that's no. not, I was just.
Yeah. Well, the Russians can dope all they want.
That's right.
Yeah. They are dopes. Yeah. But anyway. yeah, that's, yeah, that has the opportunity to be there. That this team's going to be hungry.
Yeah.
And they're going to be going after it. And there's no bigger stage than to show they're there and to prove they're there. It's almost like...
It's only May. I mean, you know, it's only May.
No, then it'll be September.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I'm just saying right. now, it's only May. And it's like...
And we're that excited.
We're that excited and that hungry for a football game. Well, we should be. You know, Lions football day. Game, you know? Right.
But then it's you get the full... Thursday to next Sunday before the Seattle game.
Yeah, so yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, no matter what happens, I mean, it's good for the team.
Let's say Dan Campbell when he has extra time to prepare.
Right, but it's bad for the fans because no matter what happens in that first game, we're just going to be like either like brokenhearted because of the loss for 10 days or we're just going to be chomping at the bit for that next one.
Well, the key to the game is how well can you contain Patrick Mahomes,
sure.
and how well can you cover the wide receivers? Okay. That's going to be the key to the game right there.
How much, with the new guys that they got...
Can you stop them?
In the draft with the wide receivers, I forget who they took and the free agents that they got. Are they in Kansas City going to be at peak timing in week one, right? Or are we going to be able to disrupt them with all of our... revamped
right,
DBs,
yeah.
right? They have no idea who's going to be where.
That's exactly it.
Positionless defense.
We kind of got an idea what they're about, but they ain't really got a clue about what Ben Johnson's going to do. I mean, you know,
defensively too.
Yeah, defensively too.
You know, and so it's going to go both ways.
And yeah, because neither side lots of ball, time to prep for both teams.
Neither side of the ball in Detroit was... finished.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And even the offense is—it's going to change in week seven when J-Mo comes back. It's going to be a completely different animal.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you run more in the first half of the season, maybe, and to make up for it. Who knows? You know,
going on six.
Well, it's been real, guys. It's been a lot of fun doing the podcast with you.
Yeah, it has been. It's good to have you back.
Yeah. Great go. Good to see you. Good to hear.
So why don't
good
we just,
talk Lions.
Yeah, why don't we just sign off right now so Tommy can stick around for our Go Lions.
Yeah. Well, he's already out.
All right.
What else?
Is there anything else? I just with the whole way that the draft worked out, like Tommy was saying, that, you know, and everyone really... And, just kind of poo-pooing the draft and how it was not a good draft and only got 17 first-rounders and first-round grades, say. And then it's like, well, it's good at tight end, and the draft is good at, you know, running back, and the draft is good at, you know, later in the draft in linemen, you know, and... Wow, gosh, these are all things that the Lions needed. And
well, that's what this draft was about, is just getting the parts that they felt they needed. And it surprised a lot of people.
It sure did.
But pissed a lot of other people off, too. But, you know, they don't need to be mad. Right. They don't need to be mad.
And so that's all going to just work out so well in week one, week two, when no one knows what the hell's going on. Now, obviously, the Lions don't know what the hell's going on with the other teams, too. So. Yeah. You know, the first week mirage where the bettors stay away.
Right.
You know, because of all the...
Our defensive line's going to, like, if we need to get pressure on Mahomes, just push that offensive line back and pressure from the outside edges to contain him. With that big guy in the middle now, Broderick Martin. Yeah, we got a big guy in the middle. We put him in there with Bugs and McNeil. I'll tell you, there ain't nobody's getting by anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the thing, yeah. Tom was talking about the defensive tackles and the three-tech he got rather vocal.
Yeah,
you know,
he did.
And he's right, you know, and we talked about it, you know, off and on during the march and stuff about, you know, what else could they do at defensive tackle if they don't go with Jalen Carter? And, you know, and we tried to get guys in the second round, and you look at the nose tackles like they ended up getting. And so, and that's what they did. They just went with McNeil and a nose tackle. And it couldn't be a simpler move, you know. And maybe next year they deal with something. Everyone's talking about Quinnen Williams right now, bringing in free agent Quinnen Williams
that too, for but millions. They got to trade for him, and then they got to give him a big bunch of money. Yeah,
$20 million or whatever.
I don't know. I don't. Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Seems overkill.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, it's a give your brain trust a shot here.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Well, why don't we wrap this up, Rich? It's only
you're tired of talking.
I am tired. This has been a two-parter.
I finally tired you out.
This has been a two-parter.
This is why I want to do like an hour and 20 every time, so I can finish it off and actually get some words in because you tucker out.
Oh, well.
So, yeah, we'll have to make our way home from Boyne City now that we found the ferry.
Well, Tom just started without us, so.
he drove separately, as he likes to do, so. This has been, since I didn't say it in the original opener.
I tried to get you to say it, but
M66 North Detroit Lions podcast. Not on M66 North today because, you know, we're in Boyne City.
We're in Boyne City.
Yeah, but that's all right. Still north of the 45th parallel.
Still freaking cold out here.
Like it's supposed to be north of the 45th parallel. although, yeah, May 17th, we had a frost warning last night. Didn't quite get there. But it may have in some places. But until next time, I don't think Tom will be back next week.
This is a special guest.
Special guest.
I'm glad he was here.
Good to have him back.
Yep. Let him vent a little bit about stuff.
Right. That's a no Tom Twitter, at Twitter Tom. Randy, at Wooden Tunes 2. Myself, Rich. That guy, Dickie, at Piss Poor Packers. Still, I thought about changing it now that Roger's not there, but they're still piss poor.
They're still piss poor.
And
yeah.
it's seems like a bit of a...
Piss poor with love.
That could be your handle.
No, that's Green Bay's handle now.
Oh, gotcha.
Piss right. Poor with love. Because they're quarterbacks. You didn't get that, did you?
I didn't get it. No,
their quarterback's name is Love, Rich. Got it? Okay, that was a funny. See, it was more funnier than you thought it was.
Funny differently, yes. Because I was thinking of like a
yeah, we know. We don't want
an away card or a get well card.
I'm not sure. I want to know what he was actually thinking. So,
okay. With love.
Exactly.
It was a sign off on some sort of letter, and I was trying to figure out what kind of letter Rogers was writing. So I don't know.
He didn't know either because he wrote it from the dark room.
Right? The old cave.
Yeah. Well, we're getting ready to jam. I don't know if anybody's out here. I haven't heard anybody.
Yeah.
But
all right.
I hope we get the jam today.
There you go.
No doubt.
Watch for Dear One Pride.
Go Lions.